Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Black Conservative Talk, where we always have hardline politics. I'm the host, Chauncey Brown. My co-host in the studio today is Dave Winkler, who's also the host of Hardline Politics. He is the co-host with me today on Black Conservative Talk Radio. We have a very exciting show today. We have an exciting gentleman running for Florida for a congressional district. But before we begin, I want to start the show with sending out prayers to all of those who have lost loved ones, friends, and family to the unfortunate pandemic of COVID-19. I also want to send special prayers out to all of the frontline workers, the hospital staff, fire, police, EMS, all of those individuals on the front line trying to save and protect our lives every day. Also want to send special prayers out to fallen police officers, the men and women in blue, and also emergency response such as emergency medical services teams. One more thing before I begin, we must not forget all of those other individuals that are at the grocery store, at the pharmacy, at our corner store, at the gas station, that's assisting us every day, jeopardizing their lives every day to give us a normal life. So I want to say a special prayer and a special thank you to all of them. Now we will begin the show. In the studio today, we have a gentleman who has done extraordinary things within his community. He's a pastor. He's also a community servant. He raises and mentors young children in the community. He is not an establishment candidate. He is what you call a Republican through and through and believes in the First Amendment, our Constitution, and the like. Let me welcome into the studio candidate for Florida's 10th District, Dr. Willie J. Montague. Welcome to the show, sir. Are you there?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you for,
I apologize.
For having me in. I'm excited.
Thank you, Doc. Also, on the air today, this is Black Conservatives Talk. You are our first guest on our show. Also, the co-host on the line with us in the studio is Dave Winkler, who is the co-host of Hardline Politics.
Yep.
And him and I co-host Black Conservative Talk together. So we're all in the studio together. But before we begin, since this is the first time on this platform, please give our audience some background on who you are, the things that you've done in your community, and how you became a candidate for U.S. Congress in Florida's 10th District.
Sure. I got into politics, I would say, back when I was 14 years old. I was introduced to the conservative principles from a teacher that I guess saw that it was something different in me, handed me a piece of paper and had two sides to it, the Republican side, the Democrat side. It didn't have the titles up top, so I couldn't tell. And I took that test and went forth into the Republican principles that I stand on today. I'm also the founder and president of a nonprofit organization entitled House of Timothy. We work with youth and young adult boys between the ages of 7 to 25. I have traveled to different states, whether it's through ministry or whether it has been through Tea Party rallies or even showing up on the scene, speaking about the conservative movement in different communities, especially within the Black communities. So there's a list of things that I have been through and accomplished and as far as starting churches and going through with organizations. But I stepped into the race because I've seen the needs that are in our community here in District 10, and I found that Val Demings, who is currently warming the seat, has not really did a service to the community, and I find that we need true representation. So I stepped in after praying about it, and I decided it's time for a change, and we need a true conservative individuals that will stand up for the Constitution and that will stand up for God and begin to make leeway on his behalf.
Thank you so much. I agree with you 100%. I think the most important part of that conversation that we're missing in our country today is our faith and belief in the Almighty. So I want to thank you for that brief introduction, Doctor. I'd like to bring on the air briefly in case he has some questions so we can all interact fairly. Dave Winkler is... Dave, please introduce yourself to our audience as the co-host,
yes.
And then we can ask questions of Dr. Monica.
Yeah, so, I mean, nothing much about me. I'm a combat veteran of both the United States Marine Corps and United States Army. A former CEO of a national veterans nonprofit called Wings for Warriors, and also a former congressional candidate for the 8th District of New Jersey. I'll be looking at state Senate next year. So, but I'm definitely happy to have this interview and be in the presence of another philanthropist, somebody doing some, you know, great for his community, as well as, you know, being a pastor. And just, I can't wait to hear what you're all about, man. So let us know.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Willie, since Dave put it that way, is there anything else that you want to expound on your background? And then, you know, we'll get into some issues in Florida and on the national landscape. If you want to add two more about your background, you're more than welcome to, or I can start asking you some questions.
Yeah, I would just like to say, you know, I grew up in a fatherless home, and part of what I'm seeing in society as we deal with the young boys or anyone in general, we're seeing that the government has taken in really to lord over the citizens of America and almost kind of stepping in like a father figure or a mother figure or any type of figure that's outside of where they need to be, which is smaller government and actually helping to guide us to be stronger as a united front. And so what I have spent my time doing in the community, I'm not just with the boys, but also in the community as it has dealt with leadership. I'm an author of a workbook called The Fruits of Leadership, and this workbook helps to navigate our generation towards, well, not just our generation, but those who are, it could be for corporate America to schools. And when I go into the schools, I want to teach and have taught that these young people need to understand the foundations of leadership. And that is something that I really focus on in our communities, that we can get a leadership mind and we can start changing our thinking pattern. And so that's what I've done and started focusing on before I even jumped into running for Congress, is that it's time for us to start getting the development skills to recognize we can think and move for ourselves and start learning how to invest and save and move forward in our economy. So that's a little bit also about me when it comes to literature that I have came up with. I am also the chancellor of Victory School of Ministry. I am also as well as the international president of Victory University, which is based out of Africa, and there's several schools that is under that umbrella. And then I oversee several churches under New Creation Assemblies of Churches and Ministries. So several things that I do, you know, long-term and that I have started and continue to be involved in.
Thank you so much, Doctor, for your service to the community and also for wanting to stand up for the people of Florida and for the nation by running for Congress. And, you know, I've noticed this year with a lot of candidates like yourself, we have a lot of candidates running on the national landscape on the Republican side, like Joe Collins of California, that have clearly demonstrated putting in the work in, like you've developed the nonprofit, the House of Timothy. You know, you are actually doing the work within the community, you know, speaking truth to power and bringing resources directly to those in need. And these are the type of people that we need in Congress today. And I'm very, very thankful and blessed not only to have you on the show, but to be a part of your movement to help to get you elected. You are in a district in Florida. Can you talk about some of the issues that you're challenged by in your district that you would like to address that the current congressional person is not dealing with in your community when you get to Congress?
One thing that's not being dealt with is that there is high levels of drug trafficking, and surprisingly enough, we had a meet and greet for my campaign on Monday, and I believe it was the next day President Trump was announcing, or there was an article that came out that President Trump will be here in Florida, in South Florida, on Friday, which is tomorrow, discussing drug trafficking. So what I realize is that is sometimes overlooked. We have a big drug issue, and a lot of it comes straight out of District 10 because District 10 covers a lot of the areas that are areas such as Pine Hills, Paramore, a lot where you see violence, gang violence, gun violence, all those types of things in this district and in those areas. And so we're not talking about drugs that there needs to be, which you can see that at the place where securing the border would be a national security issue that needs to be addressed instead of trying to have open borders, as Val Demings has suggested. You have issues where there's disrespect, even though we need accountability with our law enforcement. We had, again, Val Demings suggesting that we needed to defund the police, and which is hypocritical given that she spent 27 years as a law enforcement officer. And so then you have those issues with law. You have the issues with when it deals with drugs and human and sex trafficking that is really bad here in District 10. And so there needs to be programs that are initiated and that can get that come down from legislation that will hold accountable individuals and agencies that to make sure that we're getting these women and these men out of these homes, out of domestic violence and abusive places, and quite frankly, out of these hotels and stuff. We're having so much money that is being streamlined and incentives that are being streamlined to big corporations to continue to build and build and build, and all they're doing is creating homes for prostitution and these drugs and sex trafficking because they are allowing for people to work in, and sometimes they're not legal residents. They're coming in illegally, and not only are they taking the jobs, but they're also part of the issues that are stirring up in with dealing with our economy and also with the drugs that come in over the border.
So I guess I'll throw a question out there because it's one of the interesting areas that I work with, currently still with the guard and the policing and protecting New York City's ports. Is it also a problem of just undermanned, understaffed, or are you just seeing it as possible, the abolishment / defund movement? Or is it, that there's not enough police to cover that area or enough assets, I guess, to cover the area?
I would say that we definitely would need more resources, resources not only to go into staffing, but resources to go into training and development of the officers.
Yeah.
When you go into these communities, there's another thing that's here in this area is mental health. I think we have discussed that before, mental health. And because of that, now I have background with that because that's the population I work with, but you just cannot approach everyone the same way. And there is signs and signals that a person that has mental health issues show. And I believe that officers are not trained, and sometimes if they do have departments that work in that, they're not going to, take the time to call them that fast. They're just responding to how that person is acting. And I think that the scenes need to be accessed, but I believe the issue, too, is coming from the whole abolish and defund the police is coming in and making it and pointing out, especially in this community, that, oh, this is okay. We don't need them. We can do it. Now, I'll take it with this. The same people that were rooting for defunding the police, that they were part of the same group that just painted the Black Lives Matter mural up and down over by Lake Eola, which is a big area, downtown Orlando. They just painted the Black Lives Matter mural, and the next day it was vandalized. The same people that were calling for the funding of the police are the same people that called the police the next day asking for them to find those who were vandalizing it. So that's where that hypocritical side of government is in play, because it was Val Demings that was suggesting the same thing. Oh, defund the police, we don't need it. And then the next day it's like, we need somebody to do this. How dare them vandalize, which, again, $22,000 to paint that was taxpayer dollars.
So I guess, you know, my secondary question is, what does the demographics look like for your district? And so I can kind of ask whether if it's sanctuaried or if you're dealing with sanctuaries or you know, to where you could see, like, over here in New Jersey and in New York, we're sanctuary to where federal law enforcement, their hands are tied a lot of times when it comes down to wanting to help. So are you guys facing the same things?
No, the hands are not tied. They can be, okay. I mean, they can be just as involved. I think the issue that it is that I keep hearing the mayor, who used to be the sheriff of Orange County, I keep hearing him state that due to the climate, that's always his response when it deals with why they can't do certain things, because of the climate, which he's talking about the police brutality. So I think they're using that as an excuse to not really stand, have a zero tolerance towards criminal behavior, and using that as their excuse of why we can't approach certain communities, because we don't want them to respond in a negative way and cause riots and all these things because of the climate that we're in. So I believe that, you know, that we have the resources that can, you know, of course we need more resources, but I believe that's in the training area. But as far as like policing, if you ride down Orange County and see that, you know, there could be one pretty much on every corner. In fact, you have two or three sometimes just guarding the construction sites for the road. So we have we have plenty of, you know, the resources. I believe that, you know, they're afraid to approach because they don't want a backlash from the community.
Yeah. So Chauncey, you got a question?
That was a great question, Dave, and I really enjoyed the discussion between you and Doctor. For those that are tuning into our show right now, this is Black Conservative Talk Radio, where we deliver hardline politics. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. My co-host in the studio is David Winkler of Hardline Politics, New Jersey. Also, our guest today, congressional candidate from Florida, District 10. Founder and president of the House of Timothy, a mentoring program for young boys and young adults, Dr. Willie Montague in the studio. Well, with our last few minutes left, Willie, let's talk about some national issues, and let's talk about some hot-button issues. What do you think, and I'll give you two hot-button issues, about Black Lives Matter movement and its implication that it's having positive or negative on our country? And also, what is your position on the tearing down of history, of statutes? It's no longer about Confederate statutes. It's now become Frederick Douglass. It's become a peaceful people. It's been Gandhi now. I mean, what is your thought process on those two issues on the national front today?
Well, I think the Black Lives Matter movement has taken a turn for the worse. You know, sometimes you have organizations that start out as wanting to be a voice or an adhesive between the community and the government, and as you can see that it has really been infiltrated and is also not representing, it's not representing the Black community, those that small group of individuals that want to do what they want to do when they want to do it, and then put it under the umbrella of Black Lives Matter. When it comes down with the statues being torn, I believe that it has become a place where, especially within my generation, the generation after me, myself being a millennial, I believe that is a disrespect to our nation. A lot of things that are being torn down, flags being burned and trampled over, and it's like the morals and the respect that we once held as those who say this is America, whether we have good or bad people, or whether we have good or bad days, or whoever the president is or is not, that does not determine how, and I always teach this, is that what people do to you is not the issue, is how you respond. And I believe that that's the issue that we're seeing, is that we have so many people that do not have, they don't have the heart to be respectful instead, or have any wisdom. And so they're going out there doing things in the name of organizations, in the name of standing up for rights, in the name of saying that, oh, we got to tear this down. And most of them don't even know their history. Most of them don't even know the name of the person that the statue is put up for, because all they're doing is following. And if someone would stand up, a modern day voice would stand up in our times and begin to make a declaration that this is the right way to go. If you want change, one, you need to make sure you're getting to the polls and voting and standing that way. If you want change, start enacting change in your backyard. Start teaching people how to save. And again, as I said, save, invest. Start teaching them academic skills that can help them to go forward in life. And then again, and my primary one is get on your knees as often as possible and pray. But change is not going to come from knocking over a statue or painting a mural down the street, because most of the people who actually live in some of these places where the murals are painted or that they're thinking it is for, they don't even go down those streets. So that's my take with Black Lives Matter and the statues.
So, you know, one of the questions I wanted to ask was, you know, reading the, you know, what we believe section of the BLM, do you think, you know, that they reflect what you're essentially trying to do in bringing back a nuclear family concept, and, you know, restoring family values? Because that's more of what we're seeing from the Black conservative movement here, is that they're not really, I totally understand it and I agree with your point, but it's more towards they're adding all these things on top. What do you think about that? Like the LGBT thing they add to it, to, you know, destroying the nuclear family, prescribed nuclear family, all these other things that they add to their mission statement.
Yeah, because they're trying to be inclusive. And when you do that, you take away from the foundation. This is one thing that I've learned. If you have a mission and you have a vision, no one should be able to come in and detour you from that. If that's what you're saying you're standing on, just stay there. Some people are going to like it, some people are not. But to continue to add things, and because of the sake of you want to please that person and that person, you then water down the message. And now that's what we're seeing. And now it's so scrambled. You don't know what the message is. You don't know who is who. You don't know what they stand on. And that's the issue that I'm having. And now, you know, I don't show up to Black Lives Matter marches or any type of things like that, because I believe that what they thought they were trying to do is no longer representing that. So now that name can't stand for what it stands for. So if they want to really say that's what they're saying, someone actually messaged me and said, well, why don't we do a Minority Lives Matter, something that, you know, that counter response to that, that we actually show what we're trying to do. And that's the thing, you know, but people love, one thing I would say, people love drama and they love things that stir up trouble. And so people are going to go with Black Lives Matter at this moment because it's something that is, it is new, is exciting, and is getting everybody just round up. Oh, look. But if they really got down to it, what are they accomplishing that you can look back and say, you know, this young man, this young woman learned that, this community learned that, we're doing voter registration. You don't see none of that. Anything that actually can help, that none of that is the case.
Oh, you know, beautiful answer. So, I mean, I absolutely agree. Once again, I thank you for being a strong voice out there and doing, you know, the right thing by your community, because I think that, you know, as we try to progress, we got to tackle all aspects of what would be injustice or, you know, within the social, you know, justice movement, whether it be the crime, the drugs, the gang activity, even police brutality. Like, it all needs to happen, and as well as restoring family values. And so I thank you. I'm Chauncey.
You know, thank you. I've interviewed Doc a few times. He's an extraordinary individual, and Florida and America would be extremely lucky to have him in Congress. You know, we need more people that are engaging and doing the work in our communities now in Congress. We don't need politicians. We need public servants. And, you know, I definitely endorse your candidacy for Congress in Florida's 10th District as Chauncey Brown. I never haven't conferred it with my co-host if Black Conservative Talk can endorse you, but I definitely, Chauncey Brown, want to endorse you publicly and support you for your candidacy for Florida's congressional 10th district. Unfortunately, Doc, we're out of time, but I plan on having you back on again before your primaries. Can you please share with our audience in closing if they want to contact you, volunteer, donate to your campaign? Can you please share that information to reach out to the audience?
Yes. Want to learn more about the campaign? Go to montaguefocongress.com. That's MONTAGUE forcongress.com. If you want to donate, volunteer, learn more about it, my platform is outlined there. You can find me on social media, Willie Montague. My private page, and then Willie Montague for Congress is my campaign page. So, and Rep Montague is my Twitter. You'll find a lot of interesting things going on up there. So I'm excited about serving and going forward. This is at August 18th. If you do live in Florida or you know someone that does and is in District 10, please make sure that they learn about me and get out and vote. Primary election is very important, especially for this 2020 year.
Thank you so much. God bless you and the work that you're doing in your community and your candidacy and also your family. And also thank you for standing up again for America and standing up for what's right. Would you like to say anything else, Dave, in closing?
I can't wait to see what you're made of there. And you're always welcome to, you know, join us on our lives where we go, you know, through Zoom and stuff like that. And I look forward to seeing you go towards the general election because I know you're getting past your primary.
You.
So, and keep up the good fight.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Thank you so much, Doc. We'll be in touch. God bless you and your family. Take care now.
Thank you.
For those that are tuning in, this is Black Conservative Talk Radio, where we deliver hardline politics. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. My co-host in the studio is David Winkler. You can follow us on Twitter at BlackGOPTalk. You can also follow us on Facebook at Conservative Talk Radio. We will have available bookings if you want to come on Black Conservative Talk. We'll be hosting Black Conservative Talk every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 o'clock. You can visit our page, put in an available date and time, and our booking appointment. Would love to have you on the show. We want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. Please stay safe, practice safety, practice safe distancing. Make sure you wash your hands frequently, protect yourself, protect your family, and God bless you all. Until next time, I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. You can follow me on Twitter at Right Talk Host. You also can follow me on Facebook at Right Talk Radio Host. Thank you so much and have a good evening.